Samuel says God has rejected me as king. Rejected me. Me. I've made mistakes, of course. A few, like anyone makes.
But your majesty,
but
you...
it's an injustice. I've been a good king, and the throne should remain with my posterity. I am a man of valor and courage. Everyone says so. And I have vanquished many an enemy of Israel. Those things should offset the few mistakes I've made. I don't care what anyone says. I'll kill anyone who tries to get in my way. Anyone!
Your Majesty, you will recall that you ordered us to find you.
I don't care what I ordered, who to do what. Right now, I order you to keep still while I speak my mind. Understand? I am king. I'll have you remember that. Anyone who forgets it and doesn't show me the proper respect and homage will have his. I am king. I rule Israel. My word is law. I mean to be obeyed, and anyone who dares disobey will. What is that sound?
That, Your Majesty, is the harp player you requested.
Well, who told anyone to play? I didn't. I will not be interrupted even with music. That is lovely music. But I didn't tell him to play. Off with his head, whoever he is. How dare he play without my permission? Off with his head, do you hear?
Our story today is another Bible story told by Uncle Dan. Sounds like it's going to be an exciting one, too.
And it's probably one of the best-known stories in the entire Bible, Aunt Sue. A story recorded in 1 Samuel, chapters 16 and 17, which I call...
The Boy and the Giant.
Now don't just stand there. Do as I said. Off with that fellow's head, whoever he is.
You sent for him, Your Majesty.
I sent for him.
You ordered us to find and bring to your court a clever player of the harp.
But why? Why did I want a harp player?
Because, Your Majesty, you were having spells of mental depression, and your counselors thought
now
that...
Now keep still, keep still. I want to listen to that music.
Yes, Your Majesty.
That fellow certainly can play the harp. It's the best music I've ever heard. Who did you say he is?
His name, Your Majesty.
Well, just bring him here. I want to meet him. His music does something for me. Quiets my nerves.
David, the harp player, son of Jesse the Benjamite, to see His Majesty, great and mighty king.
Come forward, David.
Long live the king.
Arise, David, my son. Why, you're just a lad. Are you a professional player?
No, Your Majesty. I'm just a shepherd.
A shepherd? Well, be that as it may, I wish you'd play some more for me.
As you wish, Your Majesty.
Surely God shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust.
And thus it was, in the providence of God, David, as a skillful performer upon the harp, was brought before the king. His lofty and heaven-inspired strains had the desired effect. The brooding melancholy that had settled like a dark cloud over the mind of King Saul was charmed away. When David's services were not required at the court of Saul, he returned to his flock among the hills.
Hello there. I'm back.
So I see. I thought you were supposed to stay at the king's palace.
I'm not needed right now, so they let me come home.
How do you like being in the royal palace?
It certainly is an honor. I've seen and learned many things.
There are many temptations put in the way of the king, and for that I feel sorry for King Saul. The king has many difficulties and responsibilities. Responsibilities ordinary folk would never dream about. I've seen the glory of royalty shadowed with a dark cloud of sorrow. I know that the private life of King Saul and his family is far from a happy one.
Is it true that the king sometimes is mad, insane?
He has times of dejection and melancholy.
Oh.
It's made me think more about the harassments and troubles of men. Meditation. Prayer. Music. These things, by the help of God, are the things that will elevate the mind and drive away the dark clouds.
God was teaching young David lessons of trust. As Moses was trained for his work, so the Lord was fitting the son of Jesse to become the guide of his chosen people. In the court of the king, he was learning of the great responsibilities that rested upon the king of Israel. In his watch care over his father's flocks, David was gaining an appreciation of the care that the great shepherd of heaven has for the sheep of his pasture. All these things brought new thoughts to David, and a new, greater, and more serious theme to his music.
There's an evil which I've seen. It's common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches and honor, so that he wanteth nothing.
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. And a gift destroyeth the heart.
Is everyone here?
Yes, your majesty.
I will speak to them.
Yes, sir. Princes, lords, ministers of his majesty's court, quiet, please. King Saul of Israel and Judah wishes to speak.
You are all members of my court. Each of you has been chosen because of your particular talent in your chosen field. Gentlemen, we are in trouble. Deep trouble. This you well know. General Abner, come forward. Up here by me.
Yes, sir. Long live the king.
You are commander-in-chief of all my armies?
I am, your majesty.
Tell me, the Philistines, are they prepared for battle against us?
They are, your majesty. Their armies are camped on the side of a mountain near Shoko in Judah. Directly across from their camp, on the other side of the valley of Elah, is a good campsite for our army, if we elect to fight them.
There would be a valley between their camp and ours.
A deep valley, yes, your majesty. A frontal attack, either by the Philistines or by us, is almost impossible.
How do they propose to decide the conflict?
By personal combat, your majesty.
Well, now, that's not such a bad idea. Many a tribal war is decided that way. Do we have a champion who is willing to fight their champion?
Oh, we have many, your majesty. I am thinking, for instance, of a very brave soldier named Eliab. He is tall and impressive and fears nothing.
Well, get the army ready to move. We shall camp across from the Philistines.
Yes, sir, your majesty. Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Have another serving of mutton brought in to General Abner and myself.
Yes, your majesty.
This camp life seems to agree with my king.
Yes, I always feel better when there's a battle to be won.
I have come out to fight your champion.
What is that I hear?
If you have one.
A voice, your majesty.
Whose voice?
I don't know, sir.
What is he saying?
I can't quite understand him, your majesty.
Well, go and find out who he is and what he wants.
Immediately, your majesty.
Come in. Come in, Abner. What did you find out?
It was the Philistine champion speaking, your majesty, challenging one of our champions to come forth and fight him.
Which one of our champions did you choose?
Well, None, Your Majesty.
None? Why not? Well, that's why we're here, remember?
I asked for volunteers, sir, but no one came forward.
None of our men will fight their champion. Cowards. What do they expect, that I myself should go out and fight him? Well, perhaps I shall.
First, Your Majesty, let me tell you about him.
The Philistine champion? Why, he's just a man, isn't he?
He's a giant.
Well, so am I. I am head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel.
The Philistine giant is even taller than you, Your Majesty. He is at least 10 feet tall.
10 feet?
Yes, and he wears a helmet of brass and a coat of mail. Why, the coat of mail alone weighs over 100 pounds.
100 pounds?
The spear he carries is like unto a weaver's beam. It has a head of iron weighing 13 pounds.
What a man. Now I wish I'd gone out myself and seen him.
He'll be down there in the valley again tomorrow, so he said.
Well, as soon as he appears, let me know. I want to see him for myself.
In array. Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of your king Saul? Choose you a man, a champion, if you have such a man, and send him down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will you have won the war, and we shall be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Send down a man that we may fight together, if you have such a man.
He is huge, isn't he?
There's no man in our army who could defeat him, Your Majesty.
You're right, Abner. As large and as brave as I am, I wouldn't want to fight him. I can't blame any of my men for refusing.
What are we going to do, Your Majesty?
You're my general. What do you suggest?
I suppose, as your chief of staff, I should offer to fight Goliath.
Don't even suggest such a thing, Abner. You're a general. I need you to plan and execute wars, not to fight a duel with a giant.
Then I have nothing further to suggest, Your Majesty. We simply do not have anyone who can overcome that giant.
Nevertheless, I am not ready to give up. We'll wait a while and see what happens. We may think of some way out.
Granted, Your Majesty. Except, in the meantime, we will have to take Goliath's insults.
My orders, General. Do nothing. Nothing, do you hear? Until I give the word.
Yes, Your Majesty.
David, sir, there's another lion after the sheep. What are you going to do?
I'm going after him.
But David, sir, this lion is... Oh, he's a big one.
Now just stay here. I'll be back shortly. There's nothing to fear.
I hope not.
There. What did I tell you? There was nothing to fear.
You're the bravest man I've ever seen, David, sir.
I'm not brave at all, not really. I just, well, I trust in the Lord and his promises, that's all. If we love the Lord and obey him and trust him too and do all we should do, he has promised always to be our helper. I believe that. I know it to be true. So with God on my side, there is nothing to fear, nothing at all.
Sounds simple, but when it comes to actually... Look, someone's coming.
Huh?
Well, it's one of the servants from the house.
Oh, yes, it is. I wonder what he's doing way out here.
He's running. He must be in an awful hurry.
Yes, it's probably some sort of message from Father, even from my three brothers at the battlefront. Well, what are you doing way out here?
Greetings, Master David. Your father sends me with a message. Master David is to come to the house immediately.
Is that all?
Master Jesse told me to stay here and help to take care of the sheep.
Fine. I'll be on my way.
David, my son,
Yes, father?
Your three elder brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, joined King Saul's army to do battle with the Philistines. That was over 40 days ago. I'm concerned for them. I want you to go to Shaka and see what has happened.
Yes, father.
Now, you will take an ephah of parched corn for your brothers. And this cheese is for your brother's captain, the one over there 10,000.
It shall be done, father.
And look to you and receive your brother's pledge that all is well with them. And then hasten back here that I may learn how they fare. You will leave early in the morning.
Of course, father.
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, sir.
And you, Eliab, good morning to you.
Good morning, General Abner.
How are you this beautiful morning?
Oh, fine, sir, but I... Well, sir, I cannot help but be a little worried. For almost 40 days now, we have had to listen to the insults of that giant. How much longer are we to put up with it?
Well, that's what I'm here for. His Majesty has finally decided to engage the Philistines army against army, face to face, in a battle to the death.
I thought the war would be won or lost by one of our men fighting Goliath. Isn't that the usual procedure in these personal encounter affairs?
Yes, but His Majesty has decided to march against them, engage them in actual combat this very day.
Well, sir, I think we have a chance, army against army. Since we defeated the Philistines at Michmash, they have not been strong enough for a full-scale attack. They're smart enough to realize this. That's why they want a personal combat with their giant Goliath.
That's exactly the thinking of King Saul. His orders are to prepare for combat immediately. Captain, prepare your 1,000 for marching by early afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Well, I really do think the king is finally wising up. And,
listen.
Oh, there goes old Loudmouth again.
Listen. For 40 days now, twice a day.
He's right, you know. We are afraid to fight him.
Well, would a 2-year-old lad fight a grown man? It's just as useless for any of us to fight that 10-foot Goliath. Cowards?
No,
we're just too wise to undertake an impossible task. We cannot...
Eliab!
Well, if it isn't the little shepherd lad.
That voice I hear. Isn't he insulting Israel and Israel's king?
Yes. He comes out each morning and evening and hurls those insults at us.
Why do you permit such a vile thing? Why doesn't someone answer his challenge and fight him?
General Abner, sir, this is my youngest brother. He is acquainted with the ways of sheep, not of men of war. So overlook his crazy talk if you can.
But, General, sir, God is on our side. Has he not repeatedly delivered us from many enemies under impossible circumstances? Why doesn't someone go out and fight this bragging Philistine?
I'm afraid you've not seen this particular Philistine.
Seen him? Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
He is a giant. 10 feet tall.
10 feet tall? Is that so tall that God fears him?
Yeah. Well, perhaps you will sally forth and fight the giant with your bare hands. Yes?
What shall be done for the man who kills this giant Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?
Well, young man, not that it could possibly interest you, but the man who would be brave enough and able to kill that giant should receive great riches and honor from the king. Not only that, but the king would give his own daughter to the man in marriage, and he and his house should be free in Israel.
There's no limit to what God can do.
What? Are you seriously thinking of going forth to fight that giant?
Oh, of course he is, Abner, sir. At least he thinks he is. He's just a lad and knows not whereof he speaks.
The God of Israel can and will help.
Now listen, David. I'm your eldest brother and have the right to command you. In the first place, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep that Father trusts you with? I know all about your pride and your bragging and the evil of your heart. I know why you're here, merely to watch the battle from the sidelines at a safe distance.
What have I done, other than what any true-blooded Israelite would do? Have I not cause to be indignant that our army lets this giant Philistine continue day after day to hurl insults at Israel and at God?
Abner, sir, I beg of you. Do not listen to these words of my sheep-tending brother.
And David turned from his brother and went to another group of soldiers and said the same things to them. But they too answered in the same manner as had his brother Eliab. Now all the things that David had said were told to the king. and Saul sent for David.
Word has come to me that you are telling all over camp that someone should have gone forth to fight the giant Goliath.
Yes, sir, your majesty.
Well, young man, there is no one in Israel valiant and brave enough to kill that giant.
There's no limit to what God can do, your majesty.
But a man, some one of my soldiers, must face the giant.
Let no man's heart fail him, your majesty, because of the Philistine giant. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine.
You?
Yes, your majesty.
But you aren't able to fight that giant. You are but a youth, and he is a man of war and tall and powerful.
Oh, king, your servant was watching over his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after them and delivered the lamb from them and smote them. This bragging giant of a Philistine shall be as that lion and bear, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God over which you are shepherd, even as I was shepherd over my father's sheep.
But it would be suicide, my boy, and I can't let you do it.
O king, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.
Would that I had such faith and courage. Once I did. As a young king, I had faith and trust and courage. But now I go, my son. Fight the heathen Philistine. And may God be with you and give you victory. Armor-bearer!
Yes, your majesty?
Get my armor and helmet and coat of mail. Put them on this youth, that he may go forth to meet the giant fully protected by my own armor, and place my sword by his side.
Yes, your majesty.
The heavy helmet of brass was placed upon the head of David, the coat of mail upon his body, and the monarch's sword at his side. Thus equipped, David started out upon his errand.
You know, of course, your majesty, that he hasn't a chance against that giant.
I'm quite sure of that, Abner. But what else is there to do? Oh, I realize that I should fight Goliath. I am the leader of Israel, the king. But I shake with fear, for I wouldn't have a chance to win. I guess it's a guilty conscience that makes me fearful.
Your majesty, if you had refused to let David fight Goliath, the Philistines would expect you to fight him.
But you realize, Abner, that I am king and must protect my reputation. And fighting that giant certainly is...
Your majesty! David is returning.
Yes, so I see. Apparently he's decided not to risk his life by fighting the giant.
Your majesty.
Yes, son?
Your majesty, I can't go forth to fight the giant in this coat of armor. I just can't do it. Never before have I worn armor, and I can do nothing with it on. If it pleases, Majesty, I should like to remove it.
Permission granted. Lackey, help the lad off with the armor.
Your Majesty, I would like still to have the privilege and honor of ridding Israel of this heathen giant.
All right, it's up to you. But what weapons will you use?
I shall take with me only those things I used in protecting my father's sheep. A shepherd's rod and my sling.
A shepherd's rod and a sling against that giant? Oh, your majesty, it would be murder. I beg of you not to...
You have my permission, David. May God be your shield and sword.
Oh, thank you, your majesty. Long live the king!
With courteous gestures, David leaves the presence of the king, then descends rapidly the hilly slope to the bottom of the ravine which separates the two camps. From the brook, he chooses for himself 5 smooth stones and puts them in his shepherd's bag, which he carries. Then he draws near to the giant Goliath. When Goliath sees David, he is filled with amazement and anger.
Are you perhaps the champion the Israelite army has sent out to fight me?
I am.
They send a boy to fight a man? A boy still ruddy and of a fair countenance? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? By all the gods of Philistia, I curse you and your family after you.
Goliath, champion of the heathen Philistines, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin.
And what do you come to me with? A shepherd's rod and a boy's plaything. A sling!
I come to you in the name of the Lord of Hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.
Why, you brazen little...
This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Then shall all the earth know that there is a God in Israel, for the battle is the Lord's.
Come here to me, little boy, and I will show you a thing.
As the thousands of soldiers on both sides watch, David pauses a moment to take a stone from his shepherd's bag, placing it in his sling. Then, whirling it around and around over his head, he rushes toward the giant and slings the stone. Straight as an arrow, it whizzes through the air, finding its mark in Goliath's forehead. The mighty giant trembles and reaches out his hands as if he were struck with sudden blindness, staggers, then falls to the ground. Waiting not an instant, David springs upon the prostrate form of the Philistine and with both hands lays hold of Goliath's heavy sword and slays the giant.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling.
Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing.
Only a boy named David, only a little brook.
Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took.
And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round.
And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air,
and the giant came tumbling down.
And the giant came tumbling,
and the giant came tumbling down, came tumbling down.
Only a boy named David,
only a boy named David,
only a little sling,
only a little sling.
Only a boy named David,
only a boy named David,
but he could pray and sing,
he could pray and sing.
Only a boy named David,
only a boy named David,
only a little brook.
Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round.
And round and round
and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air,
and the giant came tumbling.
And the giant came tumbling.
And the giant came
tumbling, 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 tumbling.